Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de la región de Murcia. Pruebas específicas de certificación. Comprensión de textos orales. Nivel B1. Convocatoria, septiembre 2019.
Task 1.
I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember with People in America. Today we tell about the film star, Elizabeth Taylor.
During the 1940s, Elizabeth Taylor played many roles in movies about families. Not all child actors in Hollywood were successful later playing adult roles. But Taylor easily went from playing children to playing teenagers and adults. In 1950, she played the bride in the popular film Father of the Bride. That was also the year of her first marriage to the wealthy businessman Conrad Nicky Hilton. But their marriage ended in divorce the next year. Speaking after her first divorce, Taylor reportedly said that she had been able to fit in the clothing of a sexy woman since she was 14 years old. She said her troubles started because she had a woman's body and a child's emotions.
Elizabeth Taylor would quickly become as famous for her private life as she was for her acting career. The media often wrote about her many marriages and love affairs. In 1952, she married the British actor Michael Wilding, with whom she had two sons. 5 years later, they divorced, and she married the film producer Mike Todd. The couple had one daughter, Liza. Mike Todd died in 1958 in a plane crash. One of his close friends was the singer Eddie Fisher. He was married to a good friend of Elizabeth Taylor, the popular actress Debbie Reynolds. Eddie Fisher left his wife in order to marry Elizabeth Taylor. Many people were shocked and angered by this behavior.
Elizabeth Taylor once said that during the first part of her career, she did not make a huge effort as an actress. She said this changed in 1951 with the movie A Place in the Sun. It tells a tragic story about a young man and his relationship with two women. Here is a famous scene with her co-star, Montgomery Clift.
We'll have such wonderful times together. Just the two of us.
I'm Barbara Klein.
And I'm Steve Ember with People in America. Today we tell about the film star, Elizabeth Taylor.
During the 1940s, Elizabeth Taylor played many roles in movies about families. Not all child actors in Hollywood were successful later playing adult roles. But Taylor easily went from playing children to playing teenagers and adults. In 1950, she played the bride in the popular film Father of the Bride. That was also the year of her first marriage to the wealthy businessman Conrad Nicky Hilton. But their marriage ended in divorce the next year. Speaking after her first divorce, Taylor reportedly said that she had been able to fit in the clothing of a sexy woman since she was 14 years old. She said her troubles started because she had a woman's body and a child's emotions.
Elizabeth Taylor would quickly become as famous for her private life as she was for her acting career. The media often wrote about her many marriages and love affairs. In 1952, she married the British actor Michael Wilding, with whom she had two sons. 5 years later, they divorced, and she married the film producer Mike Todd. The couple had one daughter, Liza. Mike Todd died in 1958 in a plane crash. One of his close friends was the singer Eddie Fisher. He was married to a good friend of Elizabeth Taylor, the popular actress Debbie Reynolds. Eddie Fisher left his wife in order to marry Elizabeth Taylor. Many people were shocked and angered by this behavior.
Elizabeth Taylor once said that during the first part of her career, she did not make a huge effort as an actress. She said this changed in 1951 with the movie A Place in the Sun. It tells a tragic story about a young man and his relationship with two women. Here is a famous scene with her co-star, Montgomery Clift.
We'll have such wonderful times together. Just the two of us.
Task 2.
Nearly every weekday afternoon, Matilda was left alone in the house. Her brother, 5 years older than her, went to school. Her father went to work, and her mother went out playing bingo in a town 8 miles away. Mrs. Wormwood was hooked on bingo and played it 5 afternoons a week. On the afternoon of the day when her father had refused to buy her a book, Matilda set out all by herself to walk to the public library in the village. When she arrived, she introduced herself to the librarian, Mrs. Phelps. She asked if she might sit a while and read a book. Mrs. Phelps, slightly taken aback at the arrival of such a tiny girl unaccompanied by a parent, nevertheless told her she was very welcome.
"Where are the children's books, please?"
Matilda asked.
"They're over there on those lower shelves," Mrs. Phelps told her. "Would you like me to help you find a nice one with lots of pictures in it?"
"No, thank you," Matilda said. "I'm sure I can manage."
From then on, every afternoon, as soon as her mother had left for bingo, Matilda would toddle down to the library. The walk took only 10 minutes, and this allowed her 2 glorious hours sitting quietly by herself in a cosy corner, devouring one book after another. When she had read every single children's book in the place, she started wandering round in search of something else. Mrs. Phelps, who had been watching her with fascination for the past few weeks, now got up from her desk and went over to her.
"Can I help you, Matilda?" she asked.
"I'm wondering what to read next," Matilda said. "I've finished all the children's books."
"You mean you've looked at the pictures?"
"Yes, but I've read the books as well."
Mrs. Phelps looked down at Matilda from her great height, and Matilda looked right back up at her.
"I thought some were very poor," Matilda said, "but others were lovely. I liked The Secret Garden best of all. It was full of mystery. The mystery of the room behind the closed door and the mystery of the garden behind the big wall."
Mrs. Phelps was stunned.
"Exactly how old are you, Matilda?" she asked.
4 years and 3 months, Matilda said.
Mrs. Phelps was more stunned than ever, but she had the sense not to show it.
"What sort of a book would you like to read next?" she asked.
Matilda said, "I would like a really good one that grown-ups read, a famous one. I don't know any names." Mrs. Phelps looked along the shelves, taking her time. She didn't quite know what to bring out.
How, she asked herself, does one choose a famous grown-up book for a 4-year-old girl?
Her first thought was to pick a young teenager's romance of the kind that is written for 15-year-old schoolgirls. But for some reason, she found herself instinctively walking past that particular shelf.
Try this, she said at last. It's very famous and very good. If it's too long for you, just let me know, and I'll find something shorter and a bit easier.
Nearly every weekday afternoon, Matilda was left alone in the house. Her brother, 5 years older than her, went to school. Her father went to work, and her mother went out playing bingo in a town 8 miles away. Mrs. Wormwood was hooked on bingo and played it 5 afternoons a week. On the afternoon of the day when her father had refused to buy her a book, Matilda set out all by herself to walk to the public library in the village. When she arrived, she introduced herself to the librarian, Mrs. Phelps. She asked if she might sit a while and read a book. Mrs. Phelps, slightly taken aback at the arrival of such a tiny girl unaccompanied by a parent, nevertheless told her she was very welcome.
"Where are the children's books, please?" Matilda asked.
"They're over there on those lower shelves," Mrs. Phelps told her. "Would you like me to help you find a nice one with lots of pictures in it?"
"No, thank you," Matilda said. "I'm sure I can manage."
From then on, every afternoon, as soon as her mother had left for bingo, Matilda would toddle down to the library. The walk took only 10 minutes, and this allowed her 2 glorious hours sitting quietly by herself in a cosy corner, devouring one book after another. When she had read every single children's book in the place, she started wandering round in search of something else. Mrs. Phelps, who had been watching her with fascination for the past few weeks, now got up from her desk and went over to her.
"Can I help you, Matilda?" she asked.
"I'm wondering what to read next," Matilda said. "I've finished all the children's books."
"You mean you've looked at the pictures?"
"Yes, but I've read the books as well."
Mrs. Phelps looked down at Matilda from her great height, and Matilda looked right back up at her.
"I thought some were very poor," Matilda said, "but others were lovely. I liked The Secret Garden best of all. It was full of mystery. The mystery of the room behind the closed door and the mystery of the garden behind the big wall."
Mrs. Phelps was stunned.
"Exactly how old are you, Matilda?" she asked.
4 years and 3 months, Matilda said.
Mrs. Phelps was more stunned than ever, but she had the sense not to show it.
"What sort of a book would you like to read next?" she asked.
Matilda said,
"I would like a really good one that grown-ups read, a famous one. I don't know any names."
Mrs. Phelps looked along the shelves, taking her time. She didn't quite know what to bring out.
"How," she asked herself, "does one choose a famous grown-up book for a 4-year-old girl?"
Her first thought was to pick a young teenager's romance of the kind that is written for 15-year-old schoolgirls. But for some reason, she found herself instinctively walking past that particular shelf.
"Try this," she said at last. "It's very famous and very good. If it's too long for you, just let me know, and I'll find something shorter and a bit easier."
Task 3.
Welcome to New Zealand.
This beautiful island nation is home to just over 4.5 million people, many of whom go by the self-appointed nickname Kiwi. This slang is derived from the country's national symbol, a flightless bird called, you guessed it, the Kiwi. The country itself is formed by two main land masses, the North Island and the South Island, as well as about 600 other smaller islands. New Zealand as a whole is quite modest in size, similar in landmass to Japan. Wellington is the capital city of New Zealand, and also the southernmost capital city in the world, while Auckland, the original capital city, is the largest Polynesian city and goes by the name the City of Sails, which makes sense when you consider Auckland has more boats per capita than any other place in the world. What else does New Zealand have more of than the entire planet? Sheep. Hopefully you're a fan of these furry farm animals because there are about 7 to every resident, which works out to nearly 30 million sheep. Your mum won't have to worry about you throughout your Kiwi adventure either, because New Zealand has remained firmly in the top 10 safest countries to call home for several years running. They're also comfortably progressive, having been the first major nation to allow all citizens the right to vote, regardless of gender. There are three official languages in New Zealand, English, Maori, and New Zealand Sign Language, but you'll be able to get by just fine with English. But what time of year does one journey to Middle-earth? Fall? Spring? Winter? Well, just to be clear, there's never a bad time to travel to a place like New Zealand, though travellers should be ready for weather that can change unexpectedly regardless of the time of year. However, most places throughout the country receive over 2,000 hours of sunshine a year, and because of the low levels of air pollution, the sunlight is especially radiant. While the far north has subtropical weather during summer, and inland alpine areas of the South Island can be as cold as minus 10 degrees Celsius or 14 degrees Fahrenheit in winter, most of the country lies close to the coast, which means mild temperatures all year round. New Zealand's summer runs from December to February and should be considered the peak travel season. It's also considered the perfect time for enjoying activities like hiking, scenic driving, winery tours, and surfing. If you're lucky, you can catch a wave alongside dolphins off the country's long coastline. Autumn settles in from March to May, and the views of
Welcome to New Zealand.
This beautiful island nation is home to just over 4.5 million people, many of whom go by the self-appointed nickname Kiwi. This slang is derived from the country's national symbol, a flightless bird called, you guessed it, the Kiwi. The country itself is formed by two main land masses, the North Island and the South Island, as well as about 600 other smaller islands. New Zealand as a whole is quite modest in size, similar in landmass to Japan. Wellington is the capital city of New Zealand, and also the southernmost capital city in the world, while Auckland, the original capital city, is the largest Polynesian city and goes by the name the City of Sails, which makes sense when you consider Auckland has more boats per capita than any other place in the world. What else does New Zealand have more of than the entire planet? Sheep. Hopefully you're a fan of these furry farm animals because there are about 7 to every resident, which works out to nearly 30 million sheep. Your mum won't have to worry about you throughout your Kiwi adventure either, because New Zealand has remained firmly in the top 10 safest countries to call home for several years running. They're also comfortably progressive, having been the first major nation to allow all citizens the right to vote, regardless of gender. There are three official languages in New Zealand: English, Maori, and New Zealand Sign Language, but you'll be able to get by just fine with English. But what time of year does one journey to Middle-earth? Fall? Spring? Winter? Well, just to be clear, there's never a bad time to travel to a place like New Zealand, though travellers should be ready for weather that can change unexpectedly regardless of the time of year. However, most places throughout the country receive over 2,000 hours of sunshine a year, and because of the low levels of air pollution, the sunlight is especially radiant. While the far north has subtropical weather during summer, and inland alpine areas of the South Island can be as cold as minus 10 degrees Celsius or 14 degrees Fahrenheit in winter, most of the country lies close to the coast, which means mild temperatures all year round. New Zealand's summer runs from December to February and should be considered the peak travel season. It's also considered the perfect time for enjoying activities like hiking, scenic driving, winery tours, and surfing. If you're lucky, you can catch a wave alongside dolphins off the country's long coastline. Autumn settles in from March to May, and the views of
Fin de la prueba.